drop the gun. We had Steve McIntyre join the show. Steve's driving right now. What are you doing? You look great, man. What are you doing?
Thanks, buddy. I'm just checking wells, going up and down.
In Brock, sure Saskatchewan, or where in Saskatchewan?
Yeah, hometown, just east of Kindersley, Saskatchewan, right in between Kindersley and Rosetown, Saskatchewan, just a little bit west of Saskatoon.
So whenever I talk about you, I always, and in the kindest light, obviously, because you're the toughest guy, in my opinion, ever to lace them up. And don't like, don't get a big
Thank
head as
you,
big
bud.
As it already is, because I know how you get. But I liken you to a Ogie Oglethorpe from Slapshot, but in the nicest possible way, whereas nobody knows where you're at and nobody knows where you're coming from.
That's
and this
good.
Just fits in perfectly with your aura. But before we started recording, you were talking about, I came into your conversation a couple of days ago about, you know, the fights in Anaheim and you're in this and that. And the side of the story that I have is very funny because I was in San Jose. It was my first year.
Yeah.
And I was very excited to make, you know, a good impression with a new team. You know how it is. You bounce
Oh, yeah.
around a lot like I do. You want to be a good, you know, first impression. So it's preseason.
Good teammate.
I'm gearing up for my first preseason game and I'm coming into the rink and I see the Anaheim bus pull up. I was like, perfect. They have nobody. They have Tim Jackman. They have a couple other schmucks. Maybe Brad Staubitz was there. Like nobody. I was going to run through this team. I was very excited.
Yeah.
And then I see this big mountain of a man come off the bus. And honestly, Steve, my heart sunk. You have no clue how dejected and upset I was. I was just like, really? Steve's here? And we had known each other. We had trained together a little bit. I'm like, you son of a gun comes off the bus. And
I
made
think I
me
came right
sick.
over to you.
Oh, yeah. You came right over. You
Hey,
said, hey,
how's
big
the
boy.
kid? I think I said, because I think your wife was dropping you off and the girls were there. And I was like, hey, big fella, how's it going?
And I don't even know what I said. I was so mad. I was so upset because I was like, I'm going to have to fight this monster. And then we got up a couple. I think we got up a couple goals, maybe one, maybe two. And I've only turned down two people in my career. One was Jody Shelley because we were up by three or four. And I said, no, Jody. And then the other was you. We were in front of your net. I distinctly remember it.
Yeah.
I was lined up in front of your net, in front of the goalie. You said, what do you think, big boy? And I don't even think I said anything. I was like, no, never, ever,
Yeah,
Steve.
no,
Not a chance in the world.
we're not fighting. I'm like, come on, John, please.
And I said, I enjoy my face the way it is.
I think you did, yeah.
I don't want to
But
be destroyed on home ice in front
I
of my
don't
new
know.
GM.
Oh, come on, though. It would
And
have
I
been a good one.
went about my
It'd have been a good
business.
one.
It would
It'd
have
have been
been
a
a
good
good
one.
one. Yeah,
Yeah, it
but
would have been a
like,
good one.
listen, I'm not one to say that I was the toughest guy. You know
Oh,
you would have destroyed
you're
me.
tough. No, absolutely not.
But in the grand scheme of things, I had my one-way sign.
Yeah.
You were on a PTO, a tryout. I didn't know what you were
Yeah.
doing there. I think they
I
brought
had
you
no
up
idea
just
why
for
I'm
me.
sure either.
Because I thought you had retired at that point.
I did. Yeah, I retired that summer. And I was thinking about getting on the fire department, trying to go that route. And then Anaheim signed me to Norfolk, which, oh, yeah, that was tough. But hey, you know what? It was one of them situations where I couldn't pass it up, really.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, no, I'll play one more year. And we had a great bunch of guys. We could have been a better team, but we had a good bunch of guys.
In Norfolk, you did.
Yeah.
So, all that aside, what's it like? Like, do you know you strike fear into people? Did you know that when you played that when you, because like, I was terrified of you. Like, even when we were training together, I'm like, okay, like, let's just
It's
give them some room.
no, I didn't. I honestly didn't. I didn't. How can I put this? I never thought that way. I always thought that, you know, I always had the axe to grind and I was always there for my teammates. I didn't use that persona or that way of thinking to my advantage, maybe as best as I could, but I didn't think that way. I just, you know, it's you. You know, you're a big scary guy, and I mean, everybody that played back then was scary tough.
Yeah.
So I mean, every dog had his day. I mean, you never ever thought that you were better or tougher or stronger or anything. You just did the best you could, and I was no different. Like that was my mentality. But my mentality going into the fight is like, oh shoot, you know, I'm I'm wanting to make sure that you knew you were in a fight. Like, you might beat me, but you'll know you've been in one.
And the one thing,
And
Steve, like I've just been watching your fights because I love it. The one thing I noticed is you, like you just said, you made it a fight. If someone wanted to hide, if someone wanted to just kind of just take it easy and throw pillow punches and not hit anything, you weren't letting them. You were switching
no.
hands, you were readjusting your grip, and you would
Yeah.
eat four, five, six
Yeah.
solid
Yeah.
punches to make it a fight. Like
Yeah.
why do that?
You know, I look at that fight with me and Brian McGrattan. That was
Yeah.
probably one of the better fights I had. And I mean, you know, and I mean, obviously there was a lot of fights, but I mean, Brian McGrattan, he's one of the toughest I'd ever played. He's a
Yeah.
tough man. And my hat's off to him. And I mean, there was a lot of anticipation for that Battle of Alberta. And you know, we're in Calgary, and you know, he was feeding my lunch. I was getting a pretty good steady diet of rights. And I'm like, you know, I kind of had to dig down and be like, all right, you know, I'm not hurt. I better make this a fight, because if I don't, you know, I'm embarrassing myself. I'd be embarrassing my family. Like, that's kind of how I
Yeah.
took it. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? Like,
Yeah.
it's a weird way of thinking, but that's kind of the way I looked at it. Is it's like, if I don't do well, you know, there's a lot riding on this. I mean, you know, potential of going down, or you know, riding the bus again, or you know, not being able to provide for my family. That's what fueled my fighting. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love to fight. I didn't want to necessarily be a fighter, just like yourself. You didn't grow up, you know, wanting to be a fighter. You wanted to be a big, strong, steady Eddie defenseman. That's what you want to do. That was no different with me. Like, that's what I
Yep.
wanted to do. That was the way I thought the game. I was very defensive, you know, minded, even though you know, I wasn't great, but I tried to be stronger defensively, because my offensive game, let's call a spade, it just wasn't necessarily there. But that being said, when it came to scrapping, you know, obviously you and I both trained with Dougie Smith, and you know, that's where he instilled that, like, hey, you can do this. I'm gonna teach you a few things, and you're gonna, if you want it bad enough, you can do it. And I wanted it. Like, that was the thing. Like, I wanted to do it, because I knew that I couldn't go home and take over the family ranch at that time. Like, I had to make my own mark. And so it was like I was at a crossroads. It's like, okay, I've got up to this point. I've gotten to where I've gotten with just my size and strength. Well, now I have to be a little bit more. And that was the hard adjustment, but then it was an easy adjustment actually after I had my first kid, because
Ah.
now there's more riding on the line.
Right?
There's
Yeah.
more, you know, these guys are trying to take food off my kids. You know what I'm talking about? They're
Oh,
trying to
yeah.
take, you know, food off my kids' table. And it's like, I'm a very proud person. And it's like, I took things to the 10th degree, and I'm like, you know, I can do this. I can do this. And, you know, I wouldn't say I was scared of losing, but I was scared of losing. If I
Yeah.
lost, then it's like, I'm coming right back at you. And I'm gonna come, keep coming and keep coming and keep coming back until I beat you. And, or, you know, you knock me out or knock me down or whatever. You know, that was my mentality. And you know, that's what got me through. And even like fighting McGrattan, you know, a lot of people have asked me, hey, you know, if you would have lasted there that year, like, that was the year they put me on waivers, of which still I'm trying to figure out why, but it is what it is. I mean, I'd have fought him. We'd have fought every game, I'm sure. And it would have been, you know, like Holyfield Tyson all over again, because him and he, we both like doing it,
Yeah.
and it
And
was
you fought the
entertaining for
same
the
way.
fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, we fought this. He was probably a little bit more technical. Like, I got to the point where I, you know, if I had to take four or five off the dome, I don't suggest it, but if I had to, I would. And it didn't, it fueled the fire to where I had to dig down and kind of man up and be like, all right, you know, I go back to my very last professional fight. I was playing in Carolinas with the Carolina Thunderbirds, of the Federal Hockey League. And yeah, I was playing part time and I was firefighting. So it actually worked out great. I was firefighting, and then I was playing home games and it was actually worked great in my schedule. And like, kudos to them. Hats off to them for letting me be a part of that and help them out. And I loved it. The guys were great and they treated me like fantastic. And but anyway, I fought this guy and we had those little warrior gloves that literally they like, I couldn't get my hand out of the glove. Like it was just, you know what I'm talking about? They're like lacrosse
Lacrosse
gloves.
gloves, yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't get my hands. And this guy is literally feeding me my lunch. Like just, I mean, I've probably at this time maybe taken 5 to 8 off the side of the head. And I'm thinking, I got to get my gloves off. Otherwise, this guy's going to, he's going to shit can me.
Everybody's like,
And I
Steve's
can't,
getting
like,
old. Boy, oh boy.
yeah. And finally, it's like, I got to man up. So I popped my head up. I got rid of my left glove and I started peppering him with my left. And I threw pretty good lefts and I was in pretty decent shape. I peppered him with some lefts and kind of got him off of me. And won the fight, whatever, and skated the penalty box. And the next day, Trevor Gillies phones me up and he is like, "Oh my gosh, oh, Macker, I just seen your fight. Holy, I didn't know you could throw lefts like that. You look like you're in, season shape, ready to go." And I'm like, "Well, I said I had to make that decision. It's like, I better start swinging because if I don't, I'm gonna get whooped and I can't go down, I can't. I can't let some young little whippersnapper, beat the tar out of me. And then, oh, I beat up Steve. You're not saying that I'm
Right,
anybody,
yeah.
but you know what I mean?"
Well, and that's the reputation you had because you were
Yeah.
such a unit. And then what was that like? Because you finished up in Pittsburgh and then you bounced in the AHL for a couple of years and then you're in the
Yeah.
Federal League. Like, was that tough or did you, how big was the berth
No,
they gave you? Like, did you have so much room out there?
Well, I bounced around like I was in the American League, and then what happened was, and I mean, for everybody that's listening, I went from North, I signed with Norfolk,
Yep.
and there were some issues that happened that realistically, I think they were trying, like, because I was getting paid pretty decent, I think they were looking for a scapegoat, and I got. And there was nothing wrong, nothing bad happened. It was just one of them team rules or whatever that I didn't go to the I'm not a gambler, I didn't go to the casino. And I went and hung out with my buddy, my billet or my, well, I say this term, there was my old roommates in Wilkes-Barre. I hung out at their place and the night before a game, and I missed curfew and whatever. It like I said, yes, I did it. Yes, I take full responsibility. But at the end of the day, it was kind of a bullshit way of getting rid of me. And I think that they were wanting me to quit. And I'm like, piss on you guys, I ain't quitting. So they sent me out to Utah, and of which is like, it actually worked out good being in Norfolk because I was 5 hours from my kids in Charlotte and wife at that time in Charlotte. So it actually worked out. I'd go home on the weekends and back and forth and whatever. So it actually worked out. And I didn't have the greatest year in Norfolk. Like I was retiring and I was getting older and, I didn't fight a lot. And, I just really wasn't in it. I was just there trying to help do the best I could. And, that happened. And then I was at my buddy's wedding. I was part of my buddy's wedding party in the start of January. And then I came back and there was just a lot of different things, turmoil within the team that, who's to say, maybe I might have been the release point, whatever you want to call it. But they ended up sending me down to Utah, which is fine. I loved it in Utah. Like Tim Branham was the coach in Utah, and I went right in his office. I said, this is what's happened. I've had a clean record. My nose has been clean the whole entire time I played hockey. I've tried to be the best teammate I could be. And I said, this is what's going on. I said, I will do whatever you need me to do. If you say jump, I'll say how high. That's
Yeah.
what I want to do here. I'm here for you guys. I'll help do whatever I can. So that's what I did. And Tim, he was fantastic to me. The guys there in Utah and the coast, they were great. They, you know, we had we went farther, I think, along than we should have. I wish we would have gone farther, but I think we got knocked out in the second round. But that being said, 10 games before the season ended, Tim asked me, and he said, "Hey, would you consider taking on an assistant coaching job?" And I was like,
No kidding.
"Absolutely. Yes, absolutely." I loved it. He said, "You're not going to play. We need your leadership. We need your voice on the bench. We need you to help on guys." So I was like, "Absolutely. I would love to help out however I can." 'Cause that's just me. I knew my time at my course has been, it'd come.
Yeah.
And so anyway, yeah, I was coaching the last part of my season with Utah, and retired after that year. Went, coached Utah through the, like I said, assistant coach through the last 10 games and into the playoffs. And I had a blast. It was great. And then, like I said, I went and I retired, and then had some personal issues that happened, and been through a divorce or two, and then I got on the fire department about 2 years after I retired, 2 or 3 years after I retired, 2 years after I retired, because I was trying to get my paperwork and all that stuff in line, and then get my all my certification to be a fireman through the PHPA, and which I did, and got hired on Kernersville. I think that was the last time we talked, and it was great. I was there for almost 4 years, yeah, I since then my dad got sick, so I came home to try to help him out and help the family out, so yeah, that's I've been home for 5 years, and that's kind of in a nutshell the last 5 years of what I've been kind of doing. So
That ain't bad.
it's yeah, no, it's like I said, it's and going back to hockey, like going to the Federal League, I got to play part time. I didn't have to go on any road. I didn't have to ride the bus. It was great. I'm like, yeah, I'd show up at the rink, practice with the guys, play when I could, and it was a lot of fun. Took some, stress out on some poor guys' ankles and cross checks in their ribs, and played a little defense, played a little forward, had fun. Like, it was fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was just a different way of playing. Like, it was just fun.
Well, there was
And
no
then
like
yeah.
axe hanging over your head, you know?
No, it was just for fun. And I mean, when you've got that opportunity, and I mean, when we played, we were kind of the last of the dying breed.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever watched the movie, the John Wayne movie, The Shootist, but I literally think that's where we were at. It's, we wanted to go out guns a blazing. And at the end of the day, I feel like I did. I wish I would have retired a bit sooner to be on the fire department a little sooner. But
Yeah.
you know what? It's like I said, the big fella upstairs had a different plan and a purpose, and that's, I mean, that's why I'm still here, and I'm helping out with some kids, doing some stuff, kind of helping with some different with a different team. And it's been fun to go down for development camp and help out and just kind of give my insight on things, and that's my greatest to give back to hockey, is I'm able to do that, and that's
Yeah.
extremely enjoyable for me. Considering what I did as a career, I'm able to give back. I was never a coach, X's and O's, obviously, guy. I wasn't a upper management guy. I'm not a scout guy, or I'm not a,
Yeah.
but I'm able to go and put into those kids some life lessons and some experiences. And those kids, they absolutely suck it all up. They ask questions. They say, man, that's all, like, your story. Like, when we sit down and I tell you my story one of these days, I mean, it's similar to a lot of people's, but it's different because it's mine. And when I sit down and I'm able to tell people, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you went through that. Or, oh man, maybe that's not as bad as it's not as bad as what it seems. Like, riding the bus for a season or two, or getting sent down, it's not the end of the world. Like, you have a choice. You have a decision to make. You can do it. It's just a matter of making the most of your opportunities. And luckily, like I said, I go back to Providence, and the year that I had there, with Rob Murray and Scotty Gordon and Mr. V and Dougie Smith, like, All the guys I played with, like, Nate Thompson, Ben Ho, Hoagie, all those guys, Chris Cott, like, AC Rabbit, Dwayne Zinger, Sean Curry, like, I can, that's, and I mean, that is the one team that I've played on that I literally could go down the list and I can name pretty much all of the guys I played with. And I mean,
Yeah.
how many teams can you do it on? I that's the only one that I, like, we should have won it that year, but due to some, some BS moves that we couldn't really, you can't really, whether you like them or not, it is what it is. Upper management, yada, 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 the bureaucracy of everything. You know how it works. That still rubs me raw. And that was 2000 and when was that? 2007. No, 2008. I
Yeah.
still freaking get chills about that one. That still bugs my.
What, just for losing or what?
Oh, losing. Like, we had, like, Chicago won it that year. Well, that was the year I think we played against each other. You were in Houston,
Yeah.
I think. And that was the first time I run into you in the front of the net. I'm like, good God. Ran into a freaking redwood oak tree. But that being
That's
said,
funny.
we had a good team. We could fight you, we could grind you, we could, skill you, we could, do whatever. We could play that game. And we had those guys that are in the leadership group that could play that way. And they led the guys, and they led us into battle. And it was just like we were all for one and one for all. Like, we went out to the bars together, hung out together, campfires at Zing's house together. Like, we did everything as a team. Like, it was unbelievable. There was one instance
Funny.
where we had a guy that didn't toe the line, and he missed a team function, team party. Man, I'm telling you what, the next day we all were gonna shit pump him the next day. Like, you missed the team party to go to Boston, and he's a good buddy of mine, or was at the time, he still is, but oh, when we're all like, hey, we talked about it, and we're like, hey, don't do it again. Well, one of the guys absolutely, ripped him a new, and everybody was like, but I mean, that's the way a team was supposed to be ran. You know what I mean? Like, it was unbelievable. Like, you would not like, and then to lose, we beat Manchester four straight, and then Portland. We won the first two games in Providence. We outscored Portland 11-2. I'm not a statistician, but I very, very vividly remember those games. They sat me out, and a couple of their guys in Portland run roughshod on our guys, and they beat us four straight.
And they didn't play you, even though they were running wild.
Kevin Dineen and his brother, I can't remember his brother's name. He was the assistant coach. Kevin played in Hartford. And I'd always had a lot of respect for Kevin. I liked the way he played. I liked the way he coached. And he comes up to me. They're at the bar after. He comes up to me, and he's like, I don't understand why they didn't play you. I'm like, and I mean, I'm literally like vibrating even now.
Yeah. So
I
what
was
did your
so
coach
mad.
say? I coach was Scott
Well,
Gordon. Like, what did
he
he
kind of
just?
had his, I think he kind of had his hand. I don't really know the details, but by
Wow.
gosh, I let him know in the year-end meetings, and I was pretty quiet. I didn't say a whole lot, 'cause I mean, you're literally, we're both on the razor's edge, and we had to kind of mind our P's and Q's. And at that time, I didn't say a lot, but that meeting, year-end meeting, I looked at both of them, and I'm like, are you guys, I mean, I used some colorful language to both of them, and they didn't really, I mean, they didn't really say much, because I think, I don't know, I don't know that, I mean, I'm
Yeah.
sure you probably could,
Oh, yeah.
read between the lines. I'm not throwing anybody under the bus, but I was pretty hot. I was still pretty
Rightfully
hot
so.
even now,
Yeah.
20 some years later,
Especially,
or
you know, you could
15
have
or whatever
changed. You
it's
could
been.
have changed the series.
Oh,
And that's the frustrating thing.
like I said, that was the part that was where the year where I was starting to figure out that role
Yeah.
and leaning on guys. And like I tell these young guys now, man, all you got to do is lean on people. Like, just tell them you're gonna break their freaking ankle.
Yeah.
You don't even have to do it. Just tell them you're gonna break your freaking ankle.
Yeah.
And they think you're crazy. And then maybe, you get a suspension once a year. Like my thing was, if I got suspended once a year, that was usually enough to kind of keep everybody, because I'll talk to you and fight you the same way as I'm sitting here talking to you, or I might spear you, or I might whatever. That's what makes people
Scared.
second guess. Yeah, because they don't know. Walk softly, carry a big stick. It's a mentality that I've always tried to have. I've never really fought mad, or if I was really mad, I wasn't using my brain, and I was usually, I remember in Springfield where we actually just watched. Actually, it was my buddy. I was just telling you about, well, earlier about the story about you and me, but I was showing him the we had a line brawl in Springfield, and when I was with Wilkes-Barre. And it was getting a little bit out of hand earlier. And Greg Amadio,
I know. I played with him at Tech.
he was in Columbia, and I had some misunderstandings in the coast. And I mean, I wasn't killing guys in the coast by any means. It was just we fighting. And he was playing in Springfield, and he went after Jeff. I think it was Jeff Walker. He beat him up pretty good. So I said, okay, I looked over, Brett Ragnar was playing in Springfield, and I knew him from hunting up in Edmonton. I said to Brent, I said, hey, you tell the boys. I said, you better smarten up. I said, something's going to happen if you guys keep playing like that. So sure enough, I get out there against Amadio. I look at him, and I said, this is a deal. I said, you can do one of two things. I said, we can square up, you can fight me. Or I said, two, I'm going to jump you. He's like, I'm not freaking fighting you, Donnie. We fought back and I said, hey, this is the deal. This is where it's at. Anyway, he didn't fight me. They won the draw. And I literally cross-checked him and my stick folded in half, and I think it broke in three pieces. I jumped him. There was a big melee. I think we got sorted off. I punched the goalie going by. And then, of course, poor goalies, they get it all. And it was a big melee, and Cody Bat, I feel so bad because I've heard he's such a nice man. I don't know him, but I was not very nice to Cody Bat. Like he was I thought he horse collared me and pulled me down and back. So if you fight me straight on, you're gonna get nice Steve that doesn't do dirty shit. But if you pull me from behind and like yank me down from back or horse collar me, it's on. I will, because that's dangerous. And I think I had like three fingers in his cheek and maybe a thumb in his eye. If he's listening, Cody, I feel sorry. I apologize. I'm sorry. My eyes roll back in the back of my head. Anyway, this poor guy's, and I mean, I'm trying to, I didn't, I just seen red and white and I, anyway. So I go back. The goalie gets it again. The goalie gets it again because he said something else. So I whacked him again, right in the kisser. He's down, and I'm skating off the ice, and I'm looking at their bench, and I look at Brent, and I was like, "I told you, I freaking told you."
Oh
I said,
no.
"Oh yeah, that's kind of when that's kind of when I started kind of using that because, like Dan Bylsma, he actually was really good for me. Like he, I hadn't played, I played 10 games with the Penguins, and I never fought once." And I'm like, as you well know, like if you haven't fought, it's like it's a little bit unnerving. It's like, gosh dang, we're gonna send me down, and I was only on one way, so I was always on razor's edge. So here I am, I'm like just chopping the corners off the puck, and getting through. But I mean, I'm just buzzing, like I'm just, and finally I go over to Dan, and I'm like, Dan, I said, I don't know what to do. He's like, what are you talking about? I was like, I just, he's like, you're doing your job. You don't realize it, but you're doing your job. I'm like, how? I haven't fought. He's like, having you on the bench is more productive. You're doing more for our team, just being on the bench, being there for the guys so that the other team knows, like the New Jerseys that had the Boltons and the Jansons that we played, the Phillies that had the Shelleys and who else is that little shit?
Côté and Rose
Côté
Hill
was
and
gone. Well, maybe Rose Hill, Rosie was there, but who's Ronaldo?
Ronaldo,
Those guys, like just kind of keep an eye on things. And because I'd ask Bolts to fight and Janny to fight, and He'd be like, you know, like, kick rocks, Mac. We're not gonna fight you. And I'm like, ah. And I go to the penalty box, or I go to the box all dejected. And then I try to run over somebody or something like that. And, you know, it just, but he told me, he's like, you know what? He said, all you got to do is just look at him. Like, you just kind of got to look at him a little bit crazy and make him think you're crazy. And I kind of was like, I've never really understood that, but I like that. Like, just make him think you're a little bit goofy.
Derek
It's
Bugard was the best at that. He would just stare,
100%.
absolutely stare at you, and he wouldn't say a word. And I was like, damn, this guy, like, and he was one of my good buddies. And I was nervous of him. I'm like, you might take a swing at me. We would train in the summers, and I would just, wow,
He
Derek,
had
like you,
shark. He had shark eyes. Like he wouldn't say nothing.
What
I
was that
mean,
like with him? Because you knew you had to fight him. When you went to Edmonton, it was just like, it was a foregone conclusion. And then you had a couple great fights with him.
I mean, Boogie was so I'd fought him in junior, and he didn't. He was just kind of honing his craft in junior. Like he was so big and so strong, but he didn't have great balance. So I kind of give it to him a little bit in junior, but then when he figured it out. The thing about him, he was so long and so strong and technical. Like his thing was, he was quite, for a big man, he was technical. And, you know, he could set you up for things and he was strong enough to put you where he wanted to put you. When I fought him, I knew that. And him and I were probably about the same strength wise. But my thing with him is if you and guys laugh at this all the time, I had maybe a tick better, like if I was in the pocket, I would stay in the pocket to get that one shot, if that makes sense. Like I'd stay, I wasn't, I mean, I knew he threw hard, but I knew I could, you know, I knew I could battle with him. I mean, it's like, you know, like I said, it's like battling a grizzly bear. Like you're gonna get hit. You're gonna get hit hard. And when I fought him my first time in Edmonton, you know, I started to outlast him. And if you could outlast him, you could usually get him. And I never had an opportunity to outlast him. The first fight first fight in Edmonton, they kind of broke it up just as he was kind of getting a little bit winded. And I mean, you know, we were getting tired, both getting tired. And obviously, that's when guys get hurt is when they get tired. But I liked a fight to go longer because that's kind of where I felt the strongest. I dug down and kind of nutted up and like, all right, you know, now it's like it's go time now. Now it's time. And, you know, like even our fight in we fought twice in Madison Square Gardens. And the first one, oh my gosh, like I looked like a little kid. Like I went to hit him and I fell over like a little kid when I went to hit him. And then I got up and challenged him. And then he landed like three off the side of the head, knocked my helmet off. And then the linesman kind of got in there kind of before I had an opportunity to get going. I mean, he beat me, no question. He got more punches in. But the fight was just kind of starting to go. And I mean, it kind of got, you know, the refs got in there, whatever it is, what it is. And then I fought him like as soon as we got out of the penalty box, I fought him again. Like, I'm like, no, like, that's, you're not getting away with that one. Like, nuh-uh.
Well, that was the thing
And
with
I'll keep
Boogie.
fighting
He,
you.
like, the you guys were similar strength, but your strength in fighting, and this is just me from watching, and I like to just kind of analyze it a little bit, but you were great from the pocket. You could generate so much power with those punches, like so, like in a tight spot. You were A to B straight line.
It's 6 inches.
Boogie wasn't like that. Derek had the huge wind up coming over the top or the uppercut. You could see his punches coming from a mile away. So if you were in the pocket and you were kind of watching him, you could potentially protect yourself. He was just so good, like you said, waiting, putting you in the spot where he wants
And
you to
then he
be.
come and then he come with the big,
And then
yeah,
you're out,
or
then
the
you're
uppercut.
sleeping. And then you're out cold. So if he gets you spinning or a little nervous, you were done. But man, you were so, it was those fights, even with the McGrattan one. He had you early, then you tagged him with one. And it was against a bench. I was like, ooh, cheapers, this fight's gonna change quick. And then obviously the Evenons one. Like everybody remembers that one where you just had him in tight.
The very first fight we fought in preseason was actually the best fight.
I did see
Like
that one. That was like a
that
week
was the
before.
best fight. Yeah, we fought in preseason. That actually was the best fight. You know, Like we were fighting, and he knew I could switch, and he caught the switch. Like I'd switch. Like my thing was like, okay, you want to tie up my right? Because I would never ever square up lefty, never. It was awkward to me. It would screw up my timing.
Yeah.
I was just like, hey, if you're lefty, I'm gonna square up righty. And I tell the kids now, even now, I was like, hey, if you know the guy's lefty, you square up your strong hand against his strong hand,
100%, yeah.
because he has got just as much disadvantage as you do, you know, and you got to be confident. You got to be sure of your grab, and you got to be making sure of what's happening. But that being said, when I would square up righty and I knew he was a lefty or whatever, like we get in a lot, I get my grab, I throw a jab. My rule of thumb was I go in, I throw a jab or two right off the hop and get him kind of, oh,
Stun him.
you know,
Yeah.
yeah, or just even kind of figure out where your balance was or where your range was, you know, and then how they would react after that. Like I think I caught Kevin Lesker with a jab, and I caught Cole Nor with a jab, and then like not hard, but just kind of stunned him a little bit, and then that's kind of what started the fight. But in that fight with Ivan is he I went to switch, and he read it, and he, you know, he was so strong
Yeah.
that he read it. And I mean, it was, you know, it ended up being a wrestling, throwing, grappling, you know, but it was a better fight. But then when we went the next week, the home opener, I faked the right, or I
Ah.
faked the switch,
Yeah.
and then I come over with the right. And that's what got him, is he went to do the same thing. Like if I look at it again, I tried doing the same thing, but then he caught it. But then I got him coming over the top. And I mean, obviously, like I said, that was an unfortunate thing that happened, because obviously you don't want to see anybody get hurt, or be out for the season. And like I said, if he's watching, like I said, I've always wanted to make sure we're all good, because I mean, you don't want to hurt anybody long
Yeah.
term.
Yeah.
And you know, but that one, you know, he was out for a while, and like I said, I was pretty worried about him. He, you know, I'm the big tough exterior, you know, inside you're still a human, and you still care about your fellow man. And that was one that I was like, oh yeah, I hope he's okay. I always hope he's okay. And every time we play Calgary, I'd ask the guys, hey, how's Ivan doing? How's he doing? Oh, he's doing better. He's doing better. I said, okay, good. Tell him I was thinking about him,
Yeah.
you know. So it was unfortunate, but I mean, you know, if the shoe was on the other foot, I mean, it is what it is. And that was the unfortunate thing about what we did, is that can happen, but you know, it's just part of it.
Yeah, you're
And
like,
you have to make peace with it. Like I said to my buddy the other day, I said, you had to make peace with, you're going to get hit. If you don't
yep.
want to get hit, you're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I tell these kids and these guys now, is like, you have to be okay with getting hit, because if you don't want to get hit, you're going to get hurt.
Yeah, you can't go into
You
it
know,
scared. Well, you could be
no.
fearful. Like,
There's a
there's a
difference
healthy
between
amount of
being,
fear.
yeah,
Yeah.
there's the difference between being scared and being, you know, you don't have to be fearful, but you have to be okay with what's going to happen. I mean, knowing, you know, you don't go in a boxing match thinking you're going to get hit. You can't. I mean, you're going to get hit.
Yeah.
It's how you react. You know, Sheldon Surrey, Eric Goddard broke my orbital bone, and like that was the only first and only time that I'd ever been hurt in a fight. And he didn't knock me out, he just knocked me down. But I didn't know my orbital bone was broken. Like he hit it three times, just bang, bang, bang. And I mean, I'm sure he probably fought him, but he hit like a freaking truck.
Yeah.
He was by far the hardest puncher I've ever been hit by, him and Wade Belak. And Eric Goddard dropped me to a knee, and I finished the fight. And I came back out, had no idea that it was broke. I took a pop can, went and got stitched up, got a pop can, and tried, you know, getting the swelling down. Didn't have a black eye, didn't know it was broke, and I'm like putting the pressure on, trying to get that, you know, swelling down, because I refused to have black eyes. That's one of my things. I mean, I had once in a while, but not very often. And I came out in between the first and second, came back out, hit Chris Letang. And there was another, like it was going to happen again. I'm like, all right, I'll fight you again. And thank God Sheldon Surrey got in between us, because it would have been bad. Anyway, long story short, I came out first and second intermission, play the second intermission. I went to blow a snot rocket. My whole face swelled up. I couldn't see out of my one eye. And that was the first time where I was like legitimately scared, like something happened. I can't, that was just like,
Wow.
oh my gosh, and I'm yelling at Kenny, Kenny, Kenny. He comes running down the bench and I'm like, I can't see, I can't see. And I mean, literally my eyeball, like it swole like shut, and it was instantaneous. And come to find out, I broke my orbital bone. But that really, that was the only damage that I did. I mean, obviously, concussions, at that particular point in time, there was not a lot of concussion protocol, or it was just kind of coming in. And I mean, that I think I was diagnosed with two concussions over the course of my career. Well, I'm sure you could probably read between the lines how many concussions a guy's probably had over the course of
Yeah.
his career if he's been in over 200 fights. But that being said, my first game back is I'm playing against San Jose, and Mike Greer gives me the forearm shiver right to the same eye socket. And I'm like, and I mean, he hit like, I mean, Grizzy was a big man. He was solid.
Yeah.
And if he hit you, it hurt. And it hurt. But I was like, okay, I think, like, all
Everything's good.
right, everything's good. We're good. Making sure. The crazy thing, and going back to the broken orbital bone, the crazy thing, when I got the picture telling me that it was a broken orbital bone, the doctor was like, have you broken your orbital bone before? And I'm like, no, why? He's like, well, there's some scar tissue saying that you did. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, all right. Thankfully. But that being said, the second game after I fought, or after I played in San Jose, was against Minnesota. And you big boys. And my coach came in, and of course I knew what I had to do. And he told me, like, Mac T, who I'd go through a brick wall for even to this day. Like, he was so good to me, so respectful and of my role. And I mean, obviously he played with some big boys when he played, and the toughest, I mean, Semenko, McSorley, Twist, like all the big boys, Kosher. And I mean, he's been around, so he kind of knew my role. And he kind of gave it to me a little bit when I broke my orbital bone. He's like, ah, maybe you should throw a little defense there. And I looked at him, I said, well, better defense is a better offense. And he kind of laughed and I laughed. But on the plane, and sorry to kind of jump around, but on the plane, when I was hurt, Sheldon Surrey, I love this man to this day. And I don't give a crap when anybody says, whatever happened, it's none of my business, it's whatever. That man is the salt of the earth man. He is a man's man. He is the salt of the earth man. He was making six sheets. He came up to the front of the plane and told me this. He said, Macker, he says, I've been knocked out, knocked down, knocked on my keister, whatever in fights. And he says, it's all about how you come back. He said, you can't weaken. You've got to get up off the mat. You've got to keep coming. And I'm like, you know what, Shelly, I really appreciate you coming up to me and saying that, because at that point in my career, I thought I was done. Like, I thought I wasn't, I was, they were going to cut me, All right, now fast forward 3 months. I played against San Jose. Mike Greer hit me. We're in Minnesota. Mac T come, he brings me into the coach's room. He says, Mac Greer, I don't want you fighting Boogie. And I looked at him and I said, Mac T, Mac, with all due respect, I said, this is my job. This is what pays my bills. And I said, and if he takes liberties with my teammates, I said, I'll handle business. And he said, all right, fair enough. So I didn't fight him, but we ran each other the whole night. And it was awesome. Like, he'd run me and I'd run him. And we were playing on the opposite sides of the ice. It was so much fun. Like, we didn't fight. We didn't have to, but we were running each other. Like I said, it was awesome. I loved it. But that's the way, that's the way. And to say, guys that say they're not scared are, they're either one, they're special human beings, or two, they're bullshitters. Like I said, I if you're not scared or a little bit nervous going into a fight, and not scared like scared you're going to get hit, but scared in a way that is respectful. I was always respectful of my opponent, no matter what. I didn't matter who I was. One time I disrespected my opponent, guess what? I got my nose broke.
Who was
You
that?
know, his name was Lee Jacobson. He was down on the coast,
Texas
and
Tornadoes, Lee Jacobson. I played against him in juniors. Yeah.
he was a tough guy, and he threw pretty hard, and I think he was a boxer at one time, and he broke my nose, and I got mad, and I ended up knocking him down, and then I seen Peter Worrell. Oh my gosh,
You
you
fought
remember Big
him?
Peter? No. Let me tell you this story. We were playing. Peter Worrell and I were in Hartford together. Well, we got
Yeah.
both got sent down to Charlotte. Lee was playing for the Augusta Lynx, I believe, and we were in Bobcats Arena, and Lee challenged Big Pete, and Big Pete is a big, strong man. Like, I have never been dummied by anybody until he picked me up and power bombed me in the dressing room. We're wrestling. He picked me up, like picked me up full on and power bombed me on the hockey
Because
bag.
you
And
were
I'm like,
together in Florida?
yeah, no, we were together in Charlotte, but we were
Charlotte.
playing. Yeah. I like, he was a big, scary man, but if he liked you, he was good. But we were just wrestling. Of course, I was the
Yeah.
young bull and he was the old bull. So I was, teasing him or poking, at the bear. And finally he had enough. And I'm like, after that, there was no.
No
So,
kidding.
oh,
So
we had
Lee
such a good
Jacobson
wrestling
fought
match.
him.
So Lee fought him, and I have never seen a more brutal KO than when Pete hit him with it. Like, you could hear it just crack throughout the whole building. You could hear it. And it was like sickening. It was like, oh, he's dead. There's no way that he's getting up. He's dead. So yeah, it was
Well,
powerful, but it was eerie, because it was just like, it took the whole, it was just was like, after it happened, it was just like it just took the breath, like the air right out of the building, because we were
yeah.
like, he's dead. Like, like he might could be dead. Like, it was brutal. But I mean, it's kind of one of them things where, like I said, you know that you're in a dangerous, or could be potentially dangerous situation. And you have to know your opponent. You have, like, I knew, like, if I was going to fight you, I knew kind of what you were going to do. You wanted to stretch me out and use your long arms, and I had to get inside, and I had to figure out, okay, I got to chop you down.
Yeah.
I knew you wore little sh like them Sherwood shoulder pads. There wasn't any padding up and down your ribs, so guess what? You were going to get the old rib shots.
Yeah, and
You
that's how
know.
Colt Knorr beat me. He took me right in the
Yep.
ribs, dropped me.
Oh, and it is, like I said, you could punch me in the nose or in the head as many times as you want. You hit me in the guts or in the kidneys or in the liver, I don't want to fight anymore. I don't want to fight anymore. I will. I don't. I. You know. Here you go. Here it is. Like, it takes a fight right out of a guy. You know. And
Oh
like,
gosh.
you know.
What tricks did you
It,
have, Steve? Any tendencies, tricks you say you like to get in
oh.
the pocket? But what, like, listen, you played everywhere. You played in the Federal League, the East Coast, the AHL, the NHL. Like you had one of those careers where you played everywhere.
You
You've
know,
seen everything.
my trick is, I had a bad, like, I don't know if it was common knowledge, but I had a bad left shoulder. I had some issues with my left shoulder that I couldn't necessarily, they were structural, and even to this day I struggle with it. I've had it kind of all my life. My brother, I think it was a degenerative disease of some kind, and my brother's actually had the same surgery. Well, I had surgery. I was always kind of complaining about my left arm. Now I can say this, because now I know what is what it is. But I had surgery done in Florida, and they took out 32 floating nodules out of my shoulder. So
Whoa.
it would lock, and I couldn't raise it above my arm really that well. So I had to fight. I don't have long arms for a big guy. I don't really have that long arms. So if I could get you inside and I could keep my left straight, like, I couldn't throw loops with my left because it would hurt my shoulder. So I had to
Huh.
punch straight with my left.
Yeah.
So what I would do is, I got really, really good at throwing lefts, like left jabs, lefts, like those 6-inch punches. And that was my thing. It's like, the younger guys, or the guys that were in the American League, when we were fighting, they knew I was a big righty. So they'd lock up my righty. Okay, well, if you I want to fight, I'll fight you left-handed. That was and it worked, because I could drag them down, and I could throw straight rather than the big loopers. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
So I could
100%, yeah.
it was I had as long as I had my shoulder and my elbow tight to my arm, I could throw, or I could, but as soon as I threw, if I held a guy out with my left, it was hard. I could do it, but it was harder for me to do. So initially, I'd throw the jab, I'd get my grab, and then usually I would switch pretty early. And that was kind of my,
Well, and they're not grabbing onto your left. You know, they're
no.
trying to survive your right. So they're concerned about that. And I was like, you would just casually reach your right in, grab, and then say goodnight, Irene. Like it was effective. It was very effective. I never threw one left punch in my career, I think. I hated it.
It was
Couldn't
like I
stand it.
said, it was something that I had to learn because I was, and I mean, I learned to do a lot of things left-handed. Like I trained myself how to do, stuff left-handed and right-handed. Be me more, my dominant hand is my right hand, but I can do a lot of things with my left hand. I can't write necessarily with my left hand, but I can do a lot of stuff with my left hand. So that was kind of my trick or my spade. And I think nowadays a lot of guys can throw with both hands. If you can throw with both hands, then you have a more
Wow, it's a
likelihood
huge advantage.
of surviving. Yeah, it's absolutely an advantage, especially in a fight where, you're fighting a big guy or a guy that's really good, like a really good fighter. You have to constantly be switching and be duck down, dodge, whatever you want to call it, in order to get your advantage. And I mean, at that point, you're trying to survive. Like you're fighting guys that are just as tough as you are, and you're trying to survive and be come up above, come out with a victory and come up with the, that boost for your teammates. So it's I got good at it. And the other thing too is I didn't really have a style per se. Like, you know how some guys have a style? I didn't really have a style. Like I was very basic. I didn't really have a style. I wanted to go in and I wanted to throw.
Your
I
style
didn't
was
want
you're
to.
going to make it a fight. You're going to drag that other guy
Yeah,
into the
like
fight. That was your style.
I want to make him not ever want to fight me ever again. Because and honestly, that's the truth of it. That's, it was kind of double-edged sword, in a sense that you want to fight to be as good. Like there's two kinds of fights. There's a selfish fight, there's a team fight. And there's a selfish fight in a sense that it's all about me, it's all about, oh, and some guys get caught up with that. And whereas it's a team fight, it's you're going out, you're providing the spark. And earlier on, I think I was a little bit more selfish in the way I fought, but I tried to not be that way. But then when the team needed it, that's when I was at my best, I think, because the guys needed something. And I was either a big hit or, a fight or, like just backing guys off a bit. That was where, it was the, I mean, I was better at it probably after I even retired than I was during when I played. But the game within the game, it's and that's when I was teaching those young guys coaching, and even now with the guys I work with, is the game within the game. There's a game going on, and if you're cognizant of it, you can react and you can literally impose your will on people, especially now with the game the way it is.
Oh,
You get a
especially
guy
now,
like
yeah. Like Olivier.
Alex Olivier. Yeah, perfect example. Like he's a good player. He's steady Eddie. You get a guy like Alex Grant. You ever heard of him? You remember Brett Gallant? It's his younger brother. I am not kidding you. Alex Gallant is the toughest pound for pound, 160-pound guy I have ever seen or played with in my entire
He
life.
was stocked in
Thank
Heat,
God.
right?
He's playing with the Calgary Wranglers right now. There's no reason why he shouldn't be playing in the NHL. I mean, the way the game is now, I don't know where I'm not sure. I play with him in Utah, and I told him the same thing. Like he was a rookie in Utah, and I told him, I said, "Listen, Alex, I said, I love the way he played. He played the same way his brother played. I think he was probably a little bit better hockey player than his brother, but his brother was a little bigger. But Alex is a no nonsense, throw straight down the pipe and throw freaking absolute
Yeah,
hammers.
for
Like
his size, he is just a killer. Yeah.
like, but he's fearless. Like he
Yeah.
knows he's gonna get hit. He's fearless and he knows the game. Within the game, like he knows how to play. Like, he dressed instead of me. You're going to get a lot better hockey player than you were me. Yeah, I might add a little more toughness, whatever, but I'm at the end of my career. Of course, I'm going to get give an opportunity to a guy that's like that. Like, I freaking love that kid. Like, him and Brett both, they're super good people. And he's had a successful career. And I would like to think that maybe some of the pointers that I give him about the game within the game, learning that and studying that and in doing that is the reason why he's still playing. Because like he said, he's obviously he's got to play hockey, and he could skate and he'd shoot and he could fire the puck. And it was just the little things that have got him to where he's gotten. And like I said, I hope that he's still in the organization, and I hope Craig Conroy gives him an opportunity, because he's definitely deserved it. He's one of those guys that plays the right way, and he understands the way the game is played or can be played now. If there was an up and comer like I said, with Olivier, with those types of players, where you understand the game within the game.
Yeah. Hey, a couple
And
more, then I'll let you go. You're
yeah.
on your way. I want to know when you went to Pittsburgh, because you mentioned the hit with Letang, and I've been just sitting on this question for the last 10 minutes. Did he say anything to you? Because that was one of the biggest hits ever delivered in the NHL. Like, what does he say to you when he sees you in the locker room?
Oh no, Tanger and those guys, like the very first time I got to see, he didn't say anything. To answer your question, he didn't say much. Tanger's Tanger. He's a special individual. He's probably one of the most competitive guys that I think I've ever played with. Him and Sid would go like nose to nose. There was him, Sid, James Neal, and Gino. They would all go nose to nose. Well, Gino, or pardon me, mostly Sid and Neeler, but Tanger would be in too, especially on the power play. And maybe like Noah's knows, like, no, we're going to do it this way. No, we're going to do it this way. And then, they'd figure it out amongst themselves and it would work. But, when I first, so Jay Caulfield was running the show when I first came to camp. I think I got to camp like a week early or whatever. And I was skating with them. And I get out on the ice and I'm skating around, dude. And I'm like, I was just like, I'm skating around and Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin are just skating around, and I'm just like, holy jeez, like this is unbelievable. I'm skating around with superstars, legit, not wannabe superstars, or not like nothing against the guys I play with by any means, because there were some really, really good players, but it was different in a sense that these are the top superstars that play in the NHL. And guess what? My job is to make sure that nobody takes liberties with those guys. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I couldn't believe it. And geez, he comes over and I think he kind of figured out what was going on. And he's like, what do you think, Mac? And I'm like, I have no idea why or how the good Lord got me here, but oh my God. Like, I honestly didn't think I belonged at that level with
Yeah.
those guys. But then I was like, you know what? I do belong. I'm just not. Like every cog, every wheel, everything needs, you're a different cog on the chain, or you're a different cog on the wheel, and together we all are working together, and that's what makes a team. And yeah, I might not be the best player per se, or I might not be the best puck handler, goal scorer, whatever, but I was probably one of the better, or one of the guys back then playing and in my role. And once I kind of settled into that, I'm like, okay, I got this. And of course, you go out there and you know what I'm talking about. You go out there and you'd be working. Like for me, I was trying too hard, and I had to just like, all right, bring it down just to 50% with 100% execution. Oh, okay. And I'd try to work my butt off, and I'd blow drills up, blow pucks up, and guys would have a comical laugh at me, and I'd be still battling. But it was fun because Sid would take me do drills with me after
Oh, no
practice.
kidding.
Tony Granato, oh, he was great. He was so good to me. Like, he was literally like Sid. I mean, my buddies at the fire station, they were making fun of him one day, and I'm like, hey, I said, you better watch your mouth. I said, that's my buddy. You better watch it. And of course, you're all tongue in cheek type. I said, that's my buddy. You better not. He's like, he's cracking jokes about Sydney, being a little sissy boy. And, and I'm like, no, that's my buddy. I said, you don't speak like that to Sid.
That's
We had
so
a good
funny.
chuckle after that. But you know what I mean? It's just, he was that kind of guy. Like, he, and I tell the guys, I was like, yeah, no big deal. Sid was on my line. We were on the fifth line. He was on my line. Just little things like that. Like, I looking back, that those are some of the cool things. And then the way he was to my boy, especially, and my little girl, that whole organization from top to bottom was absolutely the best experience I ever had. Not taken away from Edmonton, but it was just different. It was. The first minute, 5 minutes I was in there, Mario came up to me, and Mr. Shiro, Ray Shiro, came up to me. They knew my kids. They knew the names of my kids. They knew my wife time. They said, hey, Macker, how you doing? Can we do anything for you? What is it? If there's anything you need, you just let us know. I mean, Ty Domi, I got to meet him, and that was pretty cool. It was just a first class organization, right to top to bottom. And like, I'm big into horses and cows, and like my family, we raise cows, and I've got some horses, and starting to raise my own colts and horses, and Mario started talking to me about horses, and his daughter, I think, was riding, and he knew that I enjoyed that aspect, and so we just started talking. We didn't even talk hockey, we were talking horses. And he was telling me about his daughter, I think, and it was just a lovely conversation with man. Like, I have so much respect for that man, and how I kind of, I mean, I was an Oilers fan my whole life, Gretzky fan my whole life, so I really couldn't care less about Mary Lemieux other than the videos, the highlights that we get to see on Don Cherry's Rock 'Em Sock 'Em, and that was really the only time that I ever got to see him play. But to meet the man, and then to see what he's done with Sid. I mean, Sid was a special individual right from the get-go, but for Sid to stay with Mario, and Mario to kind of groom him, to help him, kind of, it's just, he's like, I mean, $8.7 million for the last however many years. He's the best player in the
He could
league.
be making double that.
Oh, my dad and I got in an argument about who's the best player in the league, and I'm like, without a doubt, Sidney Crosby. He's like, are you kidding me? What about Connor McDavid? I said, for one, I said, Connor's however many years younger. I said, for two, I said, it's Sidney Crosby. Like, this is what he is. You can't take that away from him. He's a special person, and he's like I said, I this kind of sounds stupid, but there was a calf that we treated, or pardon me, calf we tagged, and of course mom and dad are writing out tag numbers, and we've got 99, 88, 87. So I tagged this black calf, 87. I sent him a picture. I said, yeah, I said, he's kind of a homely looking bugger. I said, but he's got the right number. I sent it to him, and he texted me right back. Like, that's the kind of guy he is. He's like, he texts me back. Oh, it's fun, so funny. He's just a good person.
That's
He's
cool.
just a good person. He's the epitome of what, a hockey player should be, in and out. And like I said, I'm proud to say that I got to play with him, and be a part of that organization when he was there, and be a part of that organization with all of those guys. Like, Flower was there, Pascal Dupuis, James Neal, Brooks Orpik. Orps is unbelievable. Brooks, he's an unbelievable guy. Nealer, he's special, but great guy. Like, he's one of the funniest guys, like, wittiest. Pascal Dupuis is the biggest jokester. Like, Flower is absolutely in the world of his own as far as, like, he loves the game of hockey. like loves it. Like
Well, it
what you
sounds
see
like
is
you've
unbelievable.
like don't sell yourself short. It sounds like you've had a great career with all these guys coming
Oh.
across your plate, but the same thing is being said about you. I guarantee you, with all these guys, I got to play with Steve McIntyre, toughest guy ever, but off the ice, one of the best guys you'll ever meet. And I haven't really played with you. I've played against you a handful of times. And I'll say, yeah,
Yeah.
you're one of the best guys I know. And that I know a lot of people. So
Wow.
no, I'm not trying to blow smoke again, but no, I really appreciate you
Well, I
coming on and
appreciate that.
sharing your story, Stevie boy.
Absolutely.
Driving around Saskatchewan.
Checking oils. Checking oil wells.
Checking
But no,
oil
I,
wells.
you know, I appreciate you. I appreciate our friendship. And like I said, to each and every one of my teammates, like I appreciate what they brought to the table. And we might not have gotten along at the time, but you know, we came together when it counted, and we had each other's backs. And the good teams, you know, that's what they need to understand is the good teams. If you want to be a good team, you have to have your teammates back. And if you do, you know, that's a team that's hard to beat. I don't care. I mean, hard work will beat talent any day when talent
Yeah,
doesn't want to work.
I
And
love that.
that's the reason why, you know, that's the reason why I had an opportunity to play is I just I didn't, I would not take no for an answer. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, you say I suck. Okay, well, watch this. You know, put a little pressure on me. You see what, watch what I can do. I can
Yeah.
do this. I got this. So, and I
Gosh.
mean, for all those kids that are listening, like, I just want to say that, you know, if you have a dream, you follow your dang dream and you do whatever you can to make that dream happen. Because at the end of the day, you know, you're the only one that can control what you can control. And if you've got an opportunity and you give it an honest effort, you know what? You can look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know what? I did it. And
That's all you can
you
do.
know, that's where I'm at right now. So I'm proud of that.
Yeah, you're a good man, Steve.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. You're a good dude too.
Yeah, well,
Take
thank
care of
you
all
for
them
coming
girls.
on. Yeah, thank you for coming on, bud. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Good luck with everything, and I'm sure I'd love to share a beer with you one day. I'm gonna try to make that happen.
Absolutely.
We gotta.
We'll make that happen sooner rather than later. That would
I'm
be
gonna
fun.
get
Might
you to
have a
one of
couple
these
pints.
charity events, and we'll have some fun. But anyways, thanks for coming on,
All right, buddy.
Steve. Thanks for listening, everybody. I appreciate it, and have a good one. Cheers.
Talk to you later, bud.